appreciate it so much. And we're going to sort of go back to our the interview we originally did, and that's just a little bit of a breakdown of where you come from and how you landed up here in the hood.
Lewin, thank you very, very much for the opportunity again to come through. Lewin, yeah, my journey started in Northwest Province many years ago. A big passion started with my grandfather bringing us through to Kruger Park. We always went to the far north. Started working in the guiding career in early 2000 in the Waterberg district. And in 2009, we spread some wings to come out to the Lowveld. And I ended up here in Hoedspruit for the first time. And I was mesmerized about the open spaces and this incredible conservation efforts going on in the area. And through that, my passion just kept growing through the years.
So your heart was always in conservation?
As long as I can remember. You know, as a young boy going to Kruger and always just passionate about conservation.
And obviously there's different arms and routes you can go with conservation, you know, but yours was more about making a difference.
That is correct. You know, like I said, always passionate about it, but to make a significant effort in conservation. You know, conservation, they say, is dropping a small rock in the ocean. You don't see the effect today, but it has an effect over the long term. Mm. So that always meant a lot to me. And, you know, I saw this great opportunity. I was always looking out for a place doing something different and also with a lot of compassion and with a great foundation. And that is how I got to meet the incredible people of Cape Belcher Lodge and Conservancy a few years back. You know, agent called and said they found this incredible property that is just outside of Hoedspruit. And then they spoke about a colony, a Cape Belcher colony. I said, no, man. Can't be.
Do you think they're going to bring one in? Because where would we even think? We have our own colony here.
Exactly. So I was so surprised when they said that. And at the moment, or at that moment, I was visiting a family in Dubai. And I was so intrigued that we immediately just, you know, cancelled the rest of our trip, decided to fly in, come and have a look.
And you and your girlfriend and wife now.
That's correct.
I remember the two of you, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, when we first came to Hoedspruit. And so that you were doing it together.
That is correct. So we started together. Natasha, we were starting a family now. So
congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yes. I'm very, very excited. Sorry. Can't wait. Yeah.
A little fledgling.
Little fledgling, yeah. It's like the vultures, yeah, definitely. So we're super excited. And, you know, obviously at this point we've decided that, you know, I'll carry on with the conservation out there. And Tasha will, you know, just help us start the family. Yeah. So it is quite a commitment, but very, very eager and can't wait.
Yes, of course, of course. And how did you meet the owners?
So this was quite an incredible story and a journey. And Lewin, I've always worked up in the Greater Kruger area, and we decided to move a little bit closer to the family in Waterberg, and this move didn't work out nicely. And at this point, we traveled a little bit, and an agent phoned me, and for many, many years, I looked for a property where we can make a change that's involved with youth development, community development, and just, you know, a real emphasis on conservation and everything we do. And the agent phoned and they pitched a proposal on this, and I couldn't believe it. Like I said, they mentioned a colony of that extent, 728 breeding pairs. Oh, unreal. And then right in the community. So there's a significant footprint in the community to help with the development, upskilling. It's
what is
endless.
The name of the community again?
So the community that we surrounded in is pretty much the Oaks, Sekororo, okay, cool. Moraba. So those are the community's bigger areas, but they obviously split into smaller areas as well. But I mean, some of them form part of Maruleng and some just outside. The moment you hit the Strydom Tunnel, that we're sharing the mountain with. So that is Moraba, and Sekororo and Oaks are on the northern part between us, Makalali and Karongwe. Okay. And what an incredible community as well. You know, everyone is so passionate about hiking, and you know, it is the outside living and farming, and you know, everyone is surrounded by citrus farms. So it's a really compassionate community all around us as well. So we got the call, and I had my first official interview with the managing director, Mr. Lambert, Ashley Lambert. And he started talking to me, and at first I thought, can't be. You know, he spoke about self-sustainability modules, you know, to physically recycle everything. Nothing goes out. You know, the responsibility is all these things he started naming. I thought, yeah, you know, just another company again.
Yeah.
It's a pitch. And I flew out and I came and have a look. And, you know, it's, I want to get emotional because it's the truth.
Yeah.
We're living it.
It's not a sales pitch.
It's not a sales pitch. You know, these people from Switzerland, they're not even from South Africa.
Yeah, that's right. They don't even stay here. And they're giving so much to this community.
It's unreal. Yeah. So you know, they saw this opportunity and they bought this property in 2020. At that time, it was called Manutsa. It was a privately owned property. I'm not sure about the back history, but I believe with the signs left there, there was some cattle farming on that property. And, you know, they decided that they want to become the custodians of the Manutsa Cape Vulture Colony, hence the name Cape Vulture Conservancy and Lodge. And through this process, they wanted to create a self-sustainability module to look after this conservancy. And through this, they decided that first thing they're going to do is they're going to bring in rangers to look after the property, to secure it. Then they decided to build a glamping lodge. So there's 9 tents sleeping 18 guests, a garden to table concept from our permaculture gardens, fresh produce. We're game farming to have a self-sustainability with that as well. And they started this lodge to just kind of create an income revenue. We need to balance about 40% just to cover salaries.
Mm-hmm.
We're far away from that.
Yeah.
So with this, they then decided, okay, the permaculture is important. Let's establish this permaculture footprint. And then also an education center, a school. It can be used for conferences, upskilling, development, workshops. So it's endless opportunity to try and get the community and caring people in to develop themselves.
Passionate. The people that are passionate as well.
Correct.
The right people in there.
That's so, so true. Mm. Because the whole focus on that is to uplift. Mm. I mean, our three main pillars is conservation, education, and employment. That is everything we believe in. And then through this, with this permaculture garden, the education center, immediately they saw there was a need for sport and sports development. So the sports development area started. There's a beautiful pump track that's developed, a volleyball court that's completed. And in the future, there'll be a parkour, a skills track, a picnic area. So it just gives you the opportunity to physically and mentally challenge yourself out there. They developed activities like vulture viewing. You can drive out to the colony, you drive out to Center Ridge, and as far as you can see to the left and as far as you can see to the right, a kilometer up, 1.5 kilometer away, and a few kilometers to the sides, you are mesmerized by viewing the Manutsa Cape Vulture Colony, by seeing all these nest sites and seeing the birds soar in the air, and then just servicing this whole Greater Kruger area. So that was one of the pristine activities. Then we showcasing incredible hiking trails. You know, elevation is about 500 meters all the way up to,
beautiful,
I would think, a kilometer high. So it's quite elevated. There's tropical forest. People don't know that.
So, you know, what the whole idea is, yes, we are promoting today International Vulture Day, and we want people to see, but we mainly also want people to see what an incredible lodge there is at their doorstep. And it's so close. I mean, to go away for a weekend and pack in your mountain bikes,
yes,
and just a bit of adventure and everything that you can get so close.
Correct.
And that's also what we want to punt. You know, I'm so behind it when I can see the passion and I can see that it's a pay it forward process as well. It's not just a put in the back pocket process.
And, you know, Lewin, this is incredible. Nothing that we make goes out.
Yeah.
That was the agreement. So they just create this to be self-sustainable, to look after the colony, look after the community members around, look after the staff. I mean, they're so caring for that. Mm. So, you know, you're absolutely right. There's the adventure seekers, the foodies. Come try the no pesticide, no herbicide food that's created through permaculture. You can go and pick your own fresh produce if you would like to. I mean, it's endless the opportunity that you can do. Mountain bike trails, hiking trails, trail running. It is just, you know, for the adventurers to do the glamping, safari tent style. The Johannesburgers love it.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, for them, you know, if we go camping in Kruger, I think that is for the very adventurous, small little tent. But for them, I mean, what an experience.
Completely.
And just if you wake up, you are close to the colony. Yeah. Right up in the mountain, it feels like you're literally living with this colony, and it's just endless.
And obviously, because you can cycle and you can hike, there is no big five there.
That is correct.
So, which is even more wonderful. And I know that there are lots of places you can go to go and get to look at big five, but it's also wonderful to go somewhere where you can freely walk and hike and cycle. That also is something that I would appreciate as well.
I mean, that is so true. You know, why compete with the big five capital in the world? I mean, if you think about Hoedspruit, and you can drive 15 minutes in any direction, you can go get a big five experience. Wow. I mean, this is what I love about Hoedspruit and the town and the accessibility to this. So the reason is not to compete with that. Yeah. It is to add value to that.
Definitely.
So, you know, you could literally come stay for four nights. You can go to Orpen one day. You can go to the Blader another day. You can do the Palaborwa next day. Then you can visit the Associate Private Nature Reserve. So you can have five or six different Big Five experiences whilst visiting Cape Vulture Lodge and know that the produce is handpicked.
Yes.
You know, your kids are safe. They can go and explore, get lost in the bush. And that is the nice thing, is they just added on value to this amazing area already.
And if we go back to this amazing breeding pairs, 728 Cape Vulture breeding pairs. And Frikkie, at one stage, was it extinct? Was it a high, I don't know how they categorize it, but you did mention that they are now in a vulnerable state. Can you just tell us the differences on those?
Sure. So the South African Red Data Book for Endangered Species have got categories on the amount of numbers. So the moment it goes into smaller numbers, it will go to critically endangered, vulnerable, less, and so forth. So there's nice levels that they explain on the vulnerability of that species in the chances of going extinct. So the Cape Vulture, there's actually quite an incredible story around the Cape Vulture colony. There is quite a few main colonies that very little people know of. So you've got Blouberg, the largest known breeding colony. Kransberg, that is located in the Marakele National Park. We've got Manutsa, that's near Hoedspruit. It's right on our doorstep. The Soutpansberg in the Wembe district. And Moliki in the Moliki municipality. Municipal Nature Reserve. And then you've got Skeerpoort, another significant colony. Mm. So there is incredible colonies. The birds love to group together. So they are monogamous, pair for life, love north-facing cliffs because it helps, you know, the heat and all the rest. So these significant colonies are spread out through South Africa. But this is a hidden gem. Very little people know. Passionate birds of prey, people don't know about the colony.
And the colonies are all different species.
So these are just the Cape Vulture colony. And basically that is of the active nest currently that we have is 2,295. And that was in 2023.
Okay. Wow.
So those are the active Cape Vulture breeding nest sites.
Okay.
And, you know, we just to thank for all the organizations like Valpro, EWT, so many to name, that physically go out and count it. They take a telescope, they sit there for hours, and they physically count these colonies, the breeding pairs. And the succession would be as if there's a new breeding pair, because the birds that breed out maybe say 30% of 728 are successful. I mean, April, May, June, July is breeding season. Yeah, by August, they push the fledglings out. So please, if you find a bird on the ground, don't catch it and take it to Malolo. They will just, we will overfill them. But they are incredible also in helping if there's broken wings or any rehabilitation.
And if you do see one, do you just leave it?
So best practice would be is they get pushed out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's quite a journey for the bird for the first time. Like ours, that you've had this incredible, and then welcome to the world.
Grade one, da safe. 80 nest sites.
Exactly. So, you kind of monitor them and give them space. This is also part of their succession. You know, if you want to go and try and save every bird, where do you keep them? Yeah. How do you handle that excessive amount of birds all of a sudden? How do you feed them?
Yeah.
One bird weighing almost 11 kilos taking 1 kilogram per feeding.
Yeah, exactly. How do you sustain that?
You can't. That is why they need to serve the whole greater area. So we are just best practice. If they hit a power line, for instance, we intervene immediately because it's human inflicted.
Yeah.
So if there's a human inflicted problem, we intervene because we created it. But if it's natural, so if it hits a tree, and it's always difficult to determine, did it now hit a tree? Did it hit the power lines?
Yeah.
There's a lot of questions. So if you find them in the vicinity of these human problems, you then take them to a human element like a Maholoholo. The guys are incredible out there and they partnered with us. And they would rehabilitate these birds to then release them. And then Endangered Wildlife Trust will get involved. Yeah. They will tag them to monitor them to help research and future research processes. So, it is difficult to just intervene, take them off the ground.
Yes.
So we just monitor as best we can. Some don't make it. It's very unfortunate. There's a circle of life. There might be a weakness in that bird. They might have something might have happened.
Yeah.
And now you're trying to save this weak animal.
That's not going to survive out there.
Exactly.
Hey?
So it is a tough one.
When we were younger, we grew up in Pietermaritzburg. And we stayed in a place called Chase Valley. And the Comrades Marathon, they used to run past on the highway where we stayed. So we were next to like the Coro Brick. And so we would run over the highway as Chokers, no? And there was a big dam there. And they used to have those white tick birds. I don't know if you know them. They were called tick birds, Leisvoëls.
Yeah.
And we'd go and get our clay lights and we'd go and play there with the clay lights. And we used to pick up birds. Meantime, they are just little babies that have just been born or they're going for a walk.
You see.
And we thought we were the rescuers. And we used to come home with those tick birds. And my mother used to get a belt and she used to make hit us. And we would make little nests and hide the birds under the
gosh.
Bed. You know, try thinking that we're saving the world.
Correct.
And she used to give us a good hiding. And we used to all, every once or twice a month, you see us walking back with our little boxes to go put the birds back. You know, and it is what you think you're doing to save, or you think you're doing the right thing. Just think before you take
Correct.
That action, because sometimes it's just a process that they're going through. You know, like a little daikerki or for whatever the animal the parent is maybe just away, or you know,
Correct.
Don't take action too quickly.
You're absolutely right.
You know?
When you need to kind of sit back a little bit and observe.
Yeah.
You know, we always want to fix the world today.
Yeah.
And conservation, you can put all the efforts in the world in today. It won't have that effect. But it will have an effect in the long term.
Yeah.
So observation is always the best.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you're referring to a cattle egret.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so the cattle egrets always follow the cattle and they peck at these ticks. That's very common. And the kiwis as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, whatever else we used to bring home.
That's a shame.
My mom used to, we freak out, we used to bring those plat annas.
Yeah.
The grootste plat anna, what you can see. And we used to keep it in the bath. What? We were thinking,
gosh.
I don't know.
We mesmerized. I think it's our caring, you know, we built like that.
Yeah,
and I think if we wasn't,
humans,
we would have created so much more devastation, because that's that little bit of caring that create conservation. It's
exactly.
Create passionate people caring for animals.
Yeah. And but also, how many species are there in terms of vultures in South Africa? And obviously, you've got North American breeds. You've got European breeds.
So, yes, vultures is split up in what they refer to as old world vultures and new world vultures. So the old world vultures that occur, it's a bit of a tongue twister there. So the ones that occur in South Africa is Cape vulture, a white-backed vulture, hooded vulture, leopard-faced vulture, white-headed vulture, and bearded vulture. A lot of people know them as the lammergeier. We also have occasional visitors, and those are the Rapels vulture and Egyptian vulture. There's roughly about 23 different breeds of vultures in the world, and that is how the IVAD originally started. The International Vulture Awareness Day is a global event that is driven by the Hawk Foundation, EWT, and a few other organizations that I do apologize, I can't just recall quickly. And they put emphasis on these incredible birds of prey. Now, the old world vultures predominantly focus on sight. So they need to physically see the carrion, the dead animal. They don't take any live animals. They need to physically see it with their incredible eyesight, and then from there move into the prey, the carrion, it's not prey, and then finish the spread of disease. So of all the 23 different species in the world, some occur in South Africa, Europe, the East, and in the New World vultures is predominantly North, Central, and South America. So we've got, of Old World vultures in the world, bearded vulture, Egyptian vulture, Cinereus vulture, griffin vulture, white-rumped vulture, Rapels vulture, Indian vulture, slender-billed vulture, Himalayan vulture, Cape vulture, white-backed vulture, a leopard-faced vulture, red-headed vulture, hooded vulture, white-headed vulture, and palm nut vulture.
Wow.
So that is all the old world vultures that predominantly use sight to locate. There is a theory going around, and for all the researchers out there that might be interested to do a thesis on it, that they also use hearing. So they hear a hyena call, and they kind of, okay, what was that? And they zone into the area to go and investigate, and then they spot it. And then the change in their soaring dynamic, the other birds from far off distance see them changing, and they go and investigate. Because they travel 190 kilometers a day on average. The longest journey is 1,000 kilometers.
Wow, to go and feed.
Just to go feed and visit and see, so it's incredible. Then you've got,
and when they come down, there's pretty much a carcass left, because obviously all the other animals have come to eat from that. So when they're busy feeding on that, do the lions and the hyenas, do they give room for the vultures, or do they not let them near it until they've finished eating?
You get interspecies and intraspecies competition when it comes to predators. Basically, if the lion kills it, he would try and protect it against hyenas and other predators or other lions. So sometimes animals die. It could be from a lightning strike. Yeah. It could be from poison, and that's very bad for the birds. It could be from drought, that they just, you know, basically system failure
or fat
infection.
Or,
some of them get chest ailments, too much rain. So they're also prone to diseases and sicknesses.
Yeah.
And then these birds kind of fly about, and they zone into these carcasses. Some predators haven't found it yet.
Okay.
And like a perfect day today where the weather is cool, if there's no thermals, the birds might not fly. But if there is a nice thermal coming up and it starts clearing, you can start seeing the blue, they'll go and investigate, because now their flights have been cancelled due to bad weather. Then they basically go out and they scan the area.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole Greater Kruger is serviced, by all the vulture colonies in the area. Then they go scan, and each vulture has got a cast. So if the leopard-faced vulture don't go in quickly into a thick-hide animal like a wallaby, a zebra, heaven forbid a rhino or elephant, they can't open that carcass. Then they wait.
They wait for that someone else to come and open it.
So, or when rigor mortis turn in and the microorganisms start feeding and they start breaking through the skin because they're breaking it down from inside as well. So it could be a timely thing. Or they go start picking at all the soft places and hopefully that they could open it. But if you look at your sizes, your leopard faced might be body wise smaller than a Cape vulture, but it's measured by the wingspan.
Yes.
So 3.5 meter wow. wingspan for a leopard faced. Wow. Good gosh.
Yeah.
You know, the Cape vulture 2.6 to 2.9 meter wingspan. So now the white backed, white headed Cape Ripples, those guys wait for the leopard face to open and then they go like little ninjas and they fight for space.
Yeah.
And I hope that they could get into the carcass because the no feather or the plumage around the neck is actually to stop the spread of disease.
Yeah.
That they can go easier and the bigger bill design. To the smallest species we've got, the hooded, and they go pick at all the tendons and all the smaller things where the big bill can't fit. And that is why each one of them have a cast. What we refer to as the old world, that is more Europe, East, and Africa. Then you got a incredible, although they evolved together, they evolved a little bit differently. And these guys, what they refer to as New World, use their sense of smell to detect carcasses as well.
So, and what is the distances we're talking about? I mean,
oh gosh, Lee, when I won't be able to tell you. But this is the incredible thing.
Such a sensitive.
Yes. Oh. So this is the incredible thing is that if the IVAD wasn't there, there wouldn't have been an emphasis on 23 global species.
Yeah.
Now we think, okay, it's just the Cape vultures in the area. Then you realize, oh, but gosh, look at all those species that visit the area. Now all of a sudden you think, okay. Now there's a significant difference. Why is it old world and new world? Then you start researching more. I mean, I can't wait to go and visit the griffins up in the States.
Oh, yeah,
to go and study and realize, and you start reading up. And how far did they pick up the smell? Because now, in my career as a guide, you focus on the species of your geographical area. So now you know, okay, they use sight, they need thermal, help with the soil dynamic. This is how they operate in an ecosystem. This is the ecological nurse. This is what they need to fulfill. Then you realize, oh, okay, these guys like nests in trees, those ones on rock faces, cliff faces, and then also they share it. So then you research more. And the more you start researching, the scary thing, then you realize how little you actually know.
No, of course.
And that's the incredible thing, is that it creates an interest and to research. So I'll go and research maybe on a next visit.
Yeah.
Let's go find out why.
Yeah.
Let me just name a few. I mean, the New World vultures is a black vulture, a turkey vulture, the lesser yellow headed vulture, crested yellow headed vulture, king vulture, California condor, and the Indian condor. So these condors are the largest flying birds.
And their wingspan?
Oh, gosh.
Would they also be, are they bigger in size in terms of a bird?
Much bigger. So they much bigger than leopard-faced vultures. I will need to go and research that. I do apologize. I didn't prepare
no,
for
no,
that.
No, not at all.
But the incredible thing is that there's so much to know already on the old world locally. I mean, there's 10 species that occur in our area just to understand how they work and their nesting and the... it's endless. An opportunity to go and view a vulture for the
exactly.
first time.
Exactly. I think that is what we are trying to focus on and get people out, is that we have this amazing colony of breeding Cape vultures just on our doorstep.
Exactly.
And this is the whole focus, is that on the 7th of September, I know that there is going to be the farmers market, but this is a day that is so spread out. You can still go to the farmers market in the morning, and your gates are staying open till 6 o'clock. So there's enough time to go down, and it's not far out. And there's so many wonderful activities that are going to take place there. And it's called the Cape Vulture Conservancy Lodge.
So the name of the conservancy, and it's quite an incredible journey. I think that is why there's so many names, and I would like to share that as well if possible.
Yes.
So it started off by building Cape Vulture Lodge, and that's the only Pty Limited on the property, and it had to create a little business to kind of operate and pay everyone and do everything. Then they registered the conservancy, which is a an area that's now being proclaimed as an especially protected area. So in the near future, we might become Cape Vulture Nature Reserve.
Oh, lovely.
And just to now talk about the lodge, the conservancy, the nature reserve, that is why we refer to as the bigger 1,880-hectare conservancy as Cape Vulture Conservancy. All of us are employed by the lodge, and there is a glamping lodge operating on the premises in the protected area. There will be nothing else developed in the 1,300 hectares protected area.
Lovely.
To secure the colony and everything there. I mean, it's natural forest, there's a little bit of arid savanna. I mean, everything there, just tell you, you can't farm there. It's incredible that everything is happening there. And that is why all these references and these names. So, in the near future, when you come past, there will be a Cape Vulture Nature Reserve sign at the gate, but you're entering Cape Vulture Conservancy. Because the conservancy consists of a recycling plant and area, a permaculture, a sports area, the lodge, a vultures restaurant, mountain bike trails, hiking trails. There's an equestrian area zone, so potentially horses in the future.
Lovely.
So it's endless. And I think that is why it was so difficult to kind of name it all these things.
Yeah.
So in the future, we'll be named Cape Vulture Nature Reserve.
Okay.
And well, you visit the conservancy when you do something inside the conservancy, or the lodge when you visit the lodge.
And tell us exactly where this lodge is.
Oh, wonderful.
So it's close. If we drive out here from Hoedspruit, we go out towards the Blinder.
That is correct. Yeah. So you take the R527 out to the Strydom Tunnel, and where it becomes the R36, it's at the Oaks turnoff. Pretty much 100 meters from the turnoff on the left-hand side, the whole cliff face, that's Cape Vulture Conservancy and Lodge.
Okay, so people can just go in there with their vehicles, and it's 50 rand to go in, which is absolutely nothing.
No, that is correct.
And they come in, there's parking facilities for them, and you've got the whole day planned. So what are we starting with when people get there, if they're coming early in the morning?
Wonderful. So what we wanted to do on this specific day is to unite for vulture conservation. That's our theme for the year. And then all kids get in for free.
Okay, wonderful.
So this is an open day for kids because they are the next generation.
Yeah.
The adults pay a 50 rand conservancy fee as an entrance fee for the day. The gates open at 6 o'clock with registration. There's already about 200 plus kids coming for the day, and thanks to all the sponsors and everyone making this possible. It's endless. I mean, the list is so long. I think we would need to give another hour just to answer this list.
And isn't
I can't
that
thank
wonderful?
Enough.
Frikkie, that we've got such generous people in this town, and that's what makes Hoedspruit so special, is that that they can stick together like this.
So true.
Yeah.
No, it's so true. There's no place like Hoedspruit.
Yeah.
I mean, that you cannot explain this to people, and the arms open up and the wallets open up, and everyone is caring for good causes. You know, and what an incredible cause.
Yeah.
So uniting for vultures this year. Gates open at 6 o'clock. The fun hike, it's a 5 kilometer. It's a very fun hike. 5 kilometer fun hike will start at 7 o'clock. And by 11 o'clock, the hike would end at our permaculture gardens where the event will be. The event will officially be opened at 11 o'clock. And there will be a few conservation stalls for the day, food stalls for the day. There's a few surprises for the day. I don't want to spoil everything. But from there, after the opening ceremony and just welcoming everyone, there would also be fun activities, very affordable fun activities to give the guys the opportunity to go and do a vulture viewing or a mountain biking. If you want to bring your mountain bike, bring it with. There's beautiful trails. We have also mountain bike rentals for the day.
Wonderful.
We've got permaculture tours. And then our eco-village, if the guys want to go see that, it's a walking distance away. There's huge specials out for the day as well. If the guys are coming from far, please contact the lodge. We've got incredible last-minute specials,
Wonderful.
Midweek specials, in the planning towards And also the Eco Village that is a walking distance away. I mean, everything is so affordable at the self-catering. So there's self-catering, there's camping facilities, there's the lodge, and then obviously the big event. And then the gates will close at 6 o'clock. So the event then officially closes 6 o'clock. There's more than enough parking space. We're going to try and get everyone involved for the day. We'll put up some signage so that people can find us easily. It's literally, I think, 26 kilometers
out of town. Oh,
it's a quick drive. You know, if on a very comfortable on a Saturday morning, I think it's about a 10-15 minute drive. And then from there, it's just so much enjoyment. So if you're a foodie and you don't want to do the hike, you can go straight through to permaculture. There's incredible stalls. There would be a few shows for the day.
Yeah. I mean, and just when you say shows, do you put some things out for the vultures to eat?
So we're going to – unfortunately – the Vultures restaurant is a management tool. And why I'm saying unfortunately is that the last – Lewin is actually quite a sensitive subject.
Okay.
Because at the moment, we are hammered by poaching. It's devastating in our area. You know, poaching in the old days was – a snare here and there. We are full aware of the pressure on rhino in the area. But people tend to forget that all those poachers need to eat as well.
Yeah, that's the thing.
So snaring, I mean, we on a full moon patrol will pick up 150 snares monthly.
Yeah.
If you go there, there's still 3 or 4 impala stuck in snares. The rest they've taken.
And that's
a full
for
operation.
Them to eat. It's just for them to take home, cut up, and to eat.
Correct, because there's pressure. There's pressure for food, and there's pressure. You know, poverty is very big.
Yeah, I mean, it's rife.
So it is a very difficult thing. So our module originally was to be self-sustainable. So we do game farming on the property. That's why there's no big five.
Yeah.
The impala is like sheep, the wallaby is like cows. We utilize it. We bank the skins for leather projects further to create more business, you know, to get more staff and small little income revenues to be self-sustainable. And then everything that's deboned and the things that we don't utilize will be put out twice a month for the vultures at the vultures restaurant.
Yeah.
And through this, give a school an opportunity to visit or the public opportunity to visit. But it's not an ongoing where we permanently feed animals and just shooting animals to put it out there.
Yeah.
No, it's inhumane.
Yeah.
And we can't sustain that colony. Every bird travels 190 kilometers a day. Every bird travels into a different direction. They surf from the bottom of Kruger all the way to the top, Limpopo Transfrontier Park, as far as Burgers Fort and further on. So that is in a radius around it. It's incredible, 80-kilometer radius easily.
And you can't take that away now and just let them feel that they know that they can get food every day.
Gosh,
so why would you fly that if you know you're going to be served a meal a day?
Correct.
So I understand 100%. It's just for a show and tell, once or twice. But the rest of the time, they've got to be self-sufficient.
Correct.
And they've got to get out there and do what they need to do.
Correct. So yes, we will be running it's this time of the year that we're running a culling. I mean, you know, conservation years start from the 1st of September till the 31st of August. So that's a conservation year. So we basically start our year the 1st of September. Spring day, it's almost spring day.
Yeah.
Everything is around the corner, everything's growing. It's new rain season. So it's also when you take stock, you do your game counts, you do your habitat assessments to understand what's going on the conservancy. And through that, you understand, okay, there's too many impala. And through a process of culling, that's how you get the meat in. So, but it's huge processes to run through. You need a P3 exemption, you need permits, you need the abattoir approval just to commercially use that. So we try our very best to make sure we do everything right
according to the law, and that
correct,
and it's run properly, and it's not underhanded in any sense,
no.
and making sure that everything flows within that conservancy, and
that's so important.
Fantastic.
For that self-sustainability module, because I mean, if this property wasn't bought for leisure, for private leisure, it was there to secure the colony, to create a long-term self-sustainability module. Everything has generated stay there to help uplift and teach and just put emphasis on conservation, education, and employment. And we need the support. You know, if everyone in the area, like incredibly, the turnout and support was unreal. I can't thank the guys enough.
Yeah.
But we need more support, visitors to come, there's schools to do awareness. I mean, we've teamed up with incredible organizations.
And it should be something that the Department of Education should be putting into the curriculum.
Yes.
That all the schools, it could be, it's an outing, but it's part of a curriculum that they are learning about a culture and a species that they would never get exposed to.
You're absolutely right. You know, I can take my hat off to the Department of Education. I mean, there is, in a syllabus, there is incredible things that they've put out there. You know, biomes. You know, we've spoken to Kruger to Canada the other day, Maritinka and the team. There's so much emphasis already on it. But do they get publicity? Do they hands-on see it? I mean, there was a huge event done by McAlpine Foundation and Dreamfields. I mean, it's just incredible partners. They're helping to develop sport with 18 schools in our sector. And we went to the tournament and started talking to the kids. Yes, a lot of... Unfortunately, also, we know it as Manutsa Peak. It's like that on Google. If you talk to the community members, they know it as Lewa Lemogodi.
Completely different.
So now the place of the vultures. So now if you talk Manutsa, all the kids stare at you like, okay.
Yeah.
And then if you say Lewa Lemogodi, they like point.
Oh,
it's
they know where it is.
So they know where the vultures stay. They know where the vulture mountain is. Have they ever seen a vulture? Because it's difficult.
Yeah.
If you look at a bird of prey, and they're kilometers high, is it a Wahlberg?
Yeah.
Is it a tawny? Yeah, then it might not fly that high because the sort of dynamics is lower. Is it, what vulture is it? You need to be a specialist. I mean, I've been doing this since 2000. I sometimes like look twice and like reference and make sure before making the wrong statement.
Now, someone that's got no experience.
It's not that difficult to make a mistake.
Yeah.
So to get them out there and to get them to have hands on first, and that is what we're doing this year.
Yeah.
We are trying and indefinitely going forward to bring all those kids out as well, do a sport element, and then also go out, go see it.
Yeah.
But it's not just the community around us. We serve Maroleng, we serve South Africa, we serve the provinces. We're bordering two provinces. You know, I always laugh at it. The guys go, yeah, but we've got Kruger. Oh, yeah, then in Mpumalanga and Limpopo, you've got Kruger. Oh, and we've got Blader. Yes, you've got Blader. Oh, no, we've got the Pano. No, no, guys, this is South Africa.
Yeah.
We've got all these provinces.
We
are the Rainbow Nation.
Yeah.
We've got all these incredible places to visit. I can't wait to go to Blouberg.
Yeah.
I want to go see these 900 plus vultures there. So you don't need to. If it's too far for you, I'm sure there's a colony close by. People don't even know about the white-back vulture colony in the Drakensberg base. Come on. It's on our doorsteps.
Yeah.
People don't know about it. I was only informed this year about it. I mean, this is what I do as a career. I feel shy to say that because there's so little we know.
Would they, being in the Air Force base itself, they obviously won't allow civilians to go in and look at it.
Unfortunately, I can't talk on behalf. And I'm sure there's a passionate conservationist listening.
Yeah.
Maybe they can help us. How do we open up? And if they cannot visit us, why don't they create their own little for the people in the base?
Absolutely.
Because there's a lot of people living in the base. I mean, doing great work out here. I mean, I always feel so secure knowing we've got our own Air Force base right on the doorstep. You know, and then also there's this whole thing that you need to know. Where do they fly?
Yeah.
It must be a huge risk for them.
Yeah.
And then it's incredible. The people avoid the northern part. You know, all the flights are literally just over the canyon. So there's no real disturbance of the birds there. And I won't suggest anyone flying close by.
Yeah.
Gosh, I mean, they just can imagine 1,000-plus birds all of a sudden up in the air. That's such a risk.
Will go down.
And then they are protected species. They're vulnerable. And the risks that's going with that and the prosecutions, oh, gosh, it's just endless.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But there's these incredible colonies all over. And then if you go visit the associated private nature reserves, you know, Baluli Klaseri, Tembevati, Mbambat, Klaseri, they've got these incredible nest sites all alongside the riverines. You know, hoodits love people, so they're always alongside jackalberries, nyalaberries, right in front of homesteads and lodges. The odd leopard face coming past. You know, the whitebacks also nest in the trees around. So the moment you kind of realize the odd here and there, and when you, especially Satara, it's amazing, you visit Satara and every area of Kruger has got a significant thing about it. You know, the big elephant tuskers in Wetsi, yeah. And Letaba, you know, also again elephants. And if you go to Satara, it's the lions. So you have more predators, more birds of prey. Right. They go hand in hand. Yeah. They're the cleaners of the bush. So then you realize, okay, you know, if you don't see the lion, maybe you should look out for the vultures. Yeah. Let's see what's going on. So it becomes an indicator of what's going on.
It creates that more awareness.
Correct.
And more awareness makes people more wanting to be involved in that type of conservation.
Correct.
At the end of the day. Well, this event is definitely, definitely going to be a huge success, Frikki. And that's on the 7th of September. And it's International Vulture Day. The gates open at 6 o'clock. The hike, it's only a 5-kilometer hiking trail. It's very nice and light. Starts at 7 o'clock. And from 11 o'clock, there's going to be some welcome speech. And it's not long and drawn out. It's quick. And then there's going to be some educational talks. And obviously, there's a variety of stands there, informative stands. And we've got the cycling, the mountain bike trail. So bring your mountain bike if you've got one. And if not, you can rent one on the day to go and enjoy the beautiful surroundings and activities on that day for Cape Vulture Lodge. And come and have a look and bring your family. There's more than enough time in the day. You've got the farmer's market in the morning, and then you've got the rest of the afternoon to come out. It's only 20 or 3 kilometers out of town, and it is definitely going to be worth it. Frikki, thank you so much for coming in studio. It's such an informative interview, and that's why I really wanted to do it again and do it properly. And I've double-checking all my numbers and figures, and I can see that everything is on track. The sound is on track. I've already had the sound police out there telling me that it's 100%, and this will definitely be cleaned up, and I'll have it out onto the podcast will go out, if not later today, first thing in the morning, and we can share that with everybody as well.
Lewin, thank you very much. And I would like to take this opportunity. I know this is not a lot, but you know, special thanks to Werner and Violanta. You know, they passionate humanitarians. Ashley Lambert for his vision and the drive. The team of Cape Vulture, just for the endless dedication every single day. Hoedspruit FM, thank you.
No, it's a pleasure.
For the invitation, you know, pushing through, the dedication is just endless. Yum Factory, they're going to be there, looking forward.
And no vultures are going to be served on that day.
Yes, no vultures served.
No vultures, we'll do pizzas, pregos, burgers.
Oh, incredible, and I'm looking forward. Endangered Wildlife Trust, you know, they are the drive on the International Vulture Awareness Day. You know, if it John Davies and the team of the Birds of Prey division on EWT, incredible. You know, and I can't thank them enough for this drive and also to push this forward. And they will be there for the day as well. The Dream Fields, just incredible, making dreams come true.
Oh,
you know, without them, serving all the kids in the community, and they are in partnership with the McAlpine Foundation. You know, if it wasn't for them, and they definitely would look after those 500 kids every year, and that's our dream, to bring all 500 kids to us every year. So this is a yearly event. It will not stop. It will just grow bigger and bigger. And we're looking forward on that journey. A special thanks to Maritinka and the team at Kruger to Canyon for all the sponsorship, the support, the help, guidance, and just endless. You know, I haven't seen someone work that fast, I must say. You know, you go in there, and before you're even looking for parking, it's the one or the other, and everyone is just so willing to help and support for the Kruger to Canyon biosphere, and which we are proud partners of. The Beal family for the donations, Kumati Fruit for their donations, all the government organizations, Ledet, DAF, you know, all the governing organizations, Marling Municipality, and just everyone's endless support, you know, Traffic, Plaaswag, everyone that is just involved in this Hoedspruit and Greater area, a special thanks. Manzi for the beautiful donation of water. Pick and Pay, thank you very much for the donation. Sable Tours, Jock and the team, incredible. You know, there's a few buses in Quantum sponsored as well, so there would be some transport for the kids from Hoedspruit. We are working on it. Buku and the team, Rian, thank you very much. Marling Community for the support. Hoedspruit Reptile Center, they're going to be there for the day.
Oh, lovely.
Thanks for the,
oh,
their
so
support.
Nice to have them there.
They, like I said, there might be a few surprises out for the kids, so let's leave it on that day. Again, Lebamba. Thank you very much, you know, helping us to try and work towards also just putting a little meal out. So endless support for them. Blader Boats, the donation. There's many other organizations. This is just my small list for today, but there's many more organizations that I haven't put on the list today. Just thanks to everyone, just making this possible, you know, the push, the support, the help, the community. And we are looking forward to all the other organizations that we haven't named yet. And there will be a huge thank you for the day, just to put it out there for everyone. You know, it, without their support, this won't be possible. And I can't wait. Literally, I can't wait for the day. It's going to be a great day. Like I said, the farmers market is on the morning. It's a quick drive out there. You know, even if you're not passionate, just come and have a look.
Yes, come and see what it's about.
Yeah.
Come and see, and then you can always book another day and come through as well, because it's not just one day event. This, it's open going forward.
Correct.
So you can go over, you can book in for the weekend, you can still enjoy all those activities and still get to see the vultures.
And if you're traveling from far, I mean, we've got huge, incredible scenery around. Yeah. We've got the Blader Canyon, we've got the panorama, you've got Sanine Adventure, it's a rock throw away, you've got the Blader Adventure, it's a rock throw away, the Kruger, you know, surrounding, and all these incredible companies helping and support. So it is literally, you know, for a quick visit or a long stay visit, everyone is welcome. Yes.
Oh, wonderful. Well, Frikkie, thank you so much for coming in studio, and we are looking so forward to the event, and we will definitely see you on Saturday. We're going to quickly come by and come and have a look as well, and that'll give me a better idea and continue to promote this fantastic event.
Thank you very much.
Well, that's definitely all recorded. I checked all the bells and whistles. I've made sure everything is right. I've checked with everybody.